Cody, where do people go if they want to get a t-shirt?
Turnbuckleboogie.com.
I like that you had to think about it.
It depends on what type of t-shirt you're talking about here, sir.
Buddy, there's only one kind of t-shirt, and that's a Turnbuckle Boogie t-shirt.
That is correct.
Only at turnbuckleboogie.com. Go there, buy it. We get a couple of bucks, and we split it up. You get wrestling gear, and I buy cocaine.
Yes.
Not really. But anyway, let's boogie!
Little bit of nose candy to get us through this Wednesday evening.
All right. Yeah. So, I should give an introduction because I realized I didn't do it last week. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I am pro wrestling historian Timothy Styles, and with me is professional wrestler and Las Vegas-based trainer, Cutthroat Cody Hancock.
Yes. Enjoying our third quarantine this lovely COVID season.
Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. I took a drink of some hot tea there. Yeah. You are not under the weather, but you are quarantining because your fiance had a positive test, which is, to me, sounds like a dream. Like what? Just stay at home for fucking 10 days or whatever it is nowadays.
Well, she wouldn't even be satisfied with that. She actually found a way to go to her work and pick up a laptop so she could work from home. Ooh. So no, she
doesn't even know how to take a proper vacation.
Not at all. And I wouldn't be surprised if I was feeling some symptoms,
right?
But they're not, I'm not coming up with a positive test, but just because our household, it's hard to socially distance in a two-bedroom apartment when you have a roommate. So we are in a situation to where we're having to share the same bed, and you know, we're just trying not to swap spit right now, as it were.
When I actually got COVID, back when all this nonsense started, I have a three-story house. I mean, there's literally a floor in this house for each person in it, me, my wife, and my daughter. I didn't care. I was going around licking all the doorknobs. I was like, come on, yes. If I'm getting this shit, we're all getting it. Get it through our system and let's get out of here. Anyway, yep. It was very irresponsible of me.
Well, licking doorknobs in general.
I should say I'm joking to the people out there who don't know me.
Well, I mean, it seems like an honorable pastime, licking doorknobs.
It sounds like something a creep would do, you know, yeah. Like a panty sniffer, one of those kind of guys. He also goes around licking doorknobs.
Hey, now.
Well, either way, so you're not feeling bad, but unfortunately, for some reason, I did catch like a cold or something. I'm suffering through the after effects, and it doesn't help that I have a day job that keeps me outdoors in Las Vegas during the summer, which I don't know what people know about the Las Vegas sun. It can be rather unforgiving. So
yes,
by the end of a work day, I'm wiped. I come home, I take a shower, and normally I'll take a short nap. Today, man, I must have got home at like 5, took my shower, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a short nap. Woke up at 8:30. Dynamite was already well underway. I was like, I'll watch Dynamite another day. I'm still, here we are an hour later, I'm still shaking off the cobwebs. And more fun news, I wake up and apparently Buff Bagwell is in some trouble.
Well, and I it's so strange to me because nobody gives you direct information on Twitter. Uh-huh. They just vaguely will say, it's a shame. And then you'll have to like go and care.
You have to hunt down the information.
Enough. Yeah. And so far, the only information that I have is that everyone's surprised that Buff Bagwell was not running his own Twitter account. And
well, do you know who was, right?
So right now there's two people, one, a guy whose name that I don't know that I heard mentioned. And I heard another person mention someone that I am familiar with, by the name of Chase and Rance, but I don't know who was it. Like,
I shouldn't say any names, but the guy convicted of pedophilia, or at least accused of it.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, if he's convicted and he's on a registry, then justice is served, justice is done. and then at that point, you can just go ahead and fuck right off. So,
yeah, here's a fun thing. I read a tweet by, of all people, Joey Janela, who I'm not a huge fan of, but this
I am. I'm a big Joey Janela fan.
Yeah, I know you are.
Especially because that tweet.
This tweet tickled me just. I loved it. It said, I thought something was up with Buff when he showed up with a top hat on that said, let's go Brandon, and a t-shirt that said, I was a fetus once.
Yes.
Like, of course. And for people who don't know, I don't know how many months ago it was, but we were contacted by, I assume, this person.
Yes.
Whoever his representative was who wanted us to if we want to have Buff Bagwell on the show, led to you and I having a full on fight. But now I've been proven right.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say a full on fight. I think that now would be the time to actually have that episode in the archive. Like, Turnbuckle Boogie would become a hot trending topic on the Twitter machine we had an interview with Buff Bagwell.
Oh, God. Yeah, but you know what? The problem is the reason why I don't want to have, like, an interview show outside of, I guess, me interviewing you, if you can call it that, really. We're friends and we like chatting. So, but I don't have it in me to treat people who are celebrities or past celebrities or whatever, to treat them like exceptional people. I treat everyone like a normal human being, and I talk a lot of shit. So I will talk shit with anyone, and I'm not throwing out softballs. That's right. Just the way I roll. And so it probably wouldn't have been in his best interest to be on my show, because I've had some fucking pretty wicked verbal clotheslines to throw out there.
There we go. Verbal lariats handed out left and right.
What was his finisher? Did he even have a finisher?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, he had the dopest move in pro wrestling for a little bit. It was the Blockbuster, man.
Yeah.
He did the flipping neck breaker off the middle rope, which has been adopted by many people. That move was great. I don't know enough to take the piss out of Buff Bagwell. And all I know is that he is not the only old hat in the world of wrestling that has their Twitter account controlled by somebody. Now, whether or not, like, Buff Bagwell knew that this dude was a pedophile is debatable. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just one of those things that, sometimes the internet gets really bored, but hearing the news that somebody was controlling his internet machine does not surprise me in the least.
No, it certainly doesn't. I mean, for weeks and weeks, it would show up in, like, the trending portion of Twitter, like, hey, and I was like, what in the fuck? For the past year, every 2 weeks or so, it's like, here's a Buff Bagwell tweet, and it was some sort of pro LGBTQIA. Plus all the letters.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, this guy, because I recall this guy being like a, I don't know, Republican or something. Anyway, don't trust what you read, folks. Trust what you see. This motherfucker has a hat that says, let's go Brandon on it.
I do think that if you read the thread, and I believe that Janela did say that was a joke.
I'm sure it was a joke.
Yeah, but it was very well done.
Yes, it's pretty funny. Anyway, well, we just passed 4th of July, and what better way to celebrate than honoring the American hero, Kurt Angle?
Yes, and there was, you know, something that completely didn't catch my attention, what was going on, because I wasn't paying attention to
what
hardly anything at the time. was the movie
Foxcatcher?
Yes. And I did a little bit of a research dive, and I want to watch this movie now.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it.
Well, there's actually two movies. There's a documentary about the, I forget if it's a farm or a ranch, Foxcatcher Farms or ranch, whatever it is. So there's a documentary, and then there's a movie starring, oh crap, what's his name?
Steve Carell.
Yeah, Michael Scott from The Office.
Yeah,
who plays the guy DuPont, and does a great job with it actually. But it's a really surreal story, actually. Do you know much about it?
From what I gathered, you had this philanthropist who was an academic scholar that ended up creating a wrestling camp. And more or less, as he aged, started having some pretty crazy paranoid delusions, followed by some erratic behavior, and ended up taking out Dave Schultz, who won the 1985 or 86 Olympics.
Yeah, great
wrestler. And he was also Kurt Angle's trainer at the time before the 1996 Olympics, where he ended up competing with a broken freaking neck. So
yeah, well, Kurt Angle was at Foxcatcher Farms branch, whatever it is. Yeah, it's interesting. You say philanthropist. I believe his family was sort of well-to-do, and not that this has too much to do with it, but gay DuPont,
right?
I don't know if because apparently he liked to play a lot of grab ass.
Well. I mean,
what better way to satisfy an internal struggle than to get a bunch of dudes in singlets to throw you around a little bit?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it's slightly attached, as I've been watching this documentary on Hulu called Mormon No More. And
my wife was watching that last night. I came up and she was sobbing.
Yes. Oh, goodness. It definitely strikes a chord with a lot of people. And that was something that the whole entire premise of the thing is, obviously there's people that are no longer Mormon that many of them are struggling to find their identity within that religion while being gay. And the Pray the Gay Away camps and things like that, mm-hmm. You know, and you can only hope that we evolve as a society more, because things like that back then, I'm sure. And it was John. DuMont. Hopefully for him.
Well, because I slept, took that fat ass nap and slept in, I did not study up. I'm going off of pure memory when it comes to Kurt Angle. The good news is that I absorbed a lot of Kurt Angle. So
yeah,
we should be okay.
Yeah, but John DuPont, he obviously didn't have correct coping mechanisms. And if you listen to any interviews that Kurt Angle has done on the subject, which there are plenty out there if you search on the YouTube machine. And Angle does say that a lot of people within that camp should have taken the signs more seriously when it came to dealing with what John did. So
this is a different time though.
It absolutely was.
What year was it?
It's 1996.
God damn. Well, even then, 96 sounds about like, you know, cause when I was in high school, 92 to 96, it was a lot more, you could be openly gay. I'll say that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, but he's from a different era. He was an older guy. So who knows what was going on through his head. Probably had a lifetime of inner demons to deal with.
Yeah.
Is that a threat, King? Sounded like a one. Oh, wait a minute. A Pittsburgh's own Kurt Angle here at the Mellon Arena avoid this interruption. Hi, Kirk. Mangle and Benoit showing no respect for
First
the commissioner.
First of all, Mick, I just want to say that you're doing a really super job as WWF commissioner. It's true, you are.
Remember, Kurt had a concussion.
You're eloquent, fair-minded, and you're a really great dresser, too.
I think I saw his tongue going in.
With that in mind, since we're talking about main event matches, I think the only main event match that makes any sense at all is me versus Triple H.
Huh? Now Angle's demanded things. They're just suggesting things.
Now Triple H might complain that his ribs are too sore, or he doesn't feel very well. Well, that's just tough. Because the fact of the matter is, this match needs to take place tonight. Not just for me, but for my hometown fans.
Whoa, that's right! Kurt Angle from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's their favorite son. He's a hero here.
Because let's face it, this town has nothing going for it right now. And that is true.
Well, he's from here. What do you mean? Well, he's obviously talking about the sports teams.
The Steelers are a disgrace.
See? It's true, it's true. Well, they agree with that here. The
Power should be fired.
The Pirates are an embarrassment.
Oh, boy. I didn't think I'd ever believe.
Roberto Clemente's rolling over in his grave right now.
And the Pens. Well, actually, the Pens aren't too bad.
Pittsburgh Penguins hockey team.
But nobody cares about hockey.
There you go. That's true. It's true.
So, Mick, I'm the only thing left in these people's lives. Many of them whom are out on bail just to see me deserve nothing less. And that is true.
What is his problem? What is wrong with him?
He's a criminal.
On a positive note, because and it just does suck because you can't talk about the positive Kurt Angle without talking about the tragedy. I mean, his family did suffer a lot of really crazy events. And he lost his father when he was very young. His father had an accident with a crane and apparently walked himself to the hospital and then fell into a coma and then died.
Hmm.
And then Angle himself lost his sister in 2014. And she was struggling with heroin abuse. And his brother apparently ended up killing his wife. It's just
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I guess so, man.
Like, start a show called Pittsburgh. It's just all this.
And yeah, there was some really devastating things that happened to who should be considered one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. And
yeah,
thankfully he's out of it.
No wonder he transitioned into being a pro wrestler so easily. He had the backstory already in line.
Yes. Yes.
Troubled youth. Dad died young. Oh, rough.
Yeah, man.
A lot of broken individuals.
Yes. There's a whole smorgasbord.
I'm trying to be delicate with my words there.
It's okay. I'm one of them. We're doing well, though.
Yeah. Well, we made it out the other end, did we not?
Yes, sir.
But Kurt Angle, in my personal opinion, you know, when I sat down to write out the list of who are the greats that we've not done, we're going to do them all in season three. You know, he probably is towards the bottom of the list when you really think about the greats that we haven't done. But he makes the list because of the impact that he made so quickly. I mean, it did not occur to me during his, we'll say his prime years in WWE, that very quickly you forgot he's absolutely new to this.
Yes.
Because he was so good at it. And the fact that he was this charming dork made it so fun to boo him.
Yes. And the thing that Angle brought to the table was being multifaceted when it comes to checking all the boxes that you need to be a professional wrestler. He was capable of being serious if he had to be serious. He was capable of being hilarious, yeah. Right? He was capable of putting on some of the greatest in-ring matches. I know a lot of people are fond of the Attitude Era, but I'm more fond of the Ruthless Aggression Era because it brought people like Angle and Eddie and Lesnar and don't say his name out loud, Benoit. To
he who should not be named.
Yeah, it brought these guys to the main event. And there's Iron Man matches that are happening and there's submission matches that are happening. And like in-ring wrestling thrived in the Ruthless Aggression Era, in my opinion. And
can I interject with one thing though?
Please, please.
At the same time, Vince McMahon didn't know when to, how do I word this? He kept fucking cutting off his nose to spite his face. I mean, they would run the non-wrestling segments that you would happily fast forward over for way too long. I think even like, who is it? Mick Foley or somebody told a story about like the week after, shortly after WCW and ECW were gone. They did like a, we'll call it a skit or a segment where Eddie Guerrero was singing some fucking song at karaoke at some bar or whatever. And then eventually it's going to break out to a brawl or whatever it was. And he gets through the entire song. and Foley was astonished. He goes, this wouldn't go more than 10 seconds without Vince going, let's move on. Nope. Shit just went on for fucking ever. But right. The wrestling was great, but all that extra stuff was fucking wacky Vince Russo remnant shit.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and actually watch some stuff from back in that time frame and actually watch it front to back without the fast forward button to develop a stronger opinion, because you are correct. I always fast forwarded past that shit anyway.
Right.
And that I know, like I said, there was a lot of people that were much fonder of the Attitude Era. I remember
The ratings reflect that.
Oh yes. The ratings of course reflect that, but that's, I don't remember the Attitude Era as fondly as other people do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, it's the member berries off of South Park. Hey, remember when this, and I remember going back and watching some of that stuff, and I'm just like, man, this is trash TV.
And well, yeah. So, well, they romanticize it a lot.
Yes.
The real truth is that a lot of it was good. You know, to give Russo credit, and probably Vince McMahon's filter, not to use that cliche combination, but everyone had something to do. It was actually really interesting for like the first time in a long time. Yep. You know, it wasn't just like, here's the main, you know, they would start the show with, you know, they would do the old NWA thing where, you know, some guy would come out to a podium and cut a promo and that was going to be the main event for the evening. And then about an hour of padding and then you would get the main event. They would start with some sort of promo or something, get people psyched up because it was one of the big stars. It was going to be The Rock or Steve Austin or, you know, whoever. And then the rest of the show wasn't just padding. It was, you know, different storylines. And that's, you know, and if you know anything about writing television, you know, there's your A storyline, your B storyline, your C storyline. All these things are sort of going on. It's not you have an A storyline and filler for an hour.
Right.
And they really had that part figured out for a while. Now, did that mean that everything that came through in the C storyline was worth a shit? Hell no. Choppy, choppy, the pee-pee and all this sort of stupid stuff. But A and B. Shout out
Dick Togo, the greatest member of Kai and Tai.
Yeah, good old Dick Togo.
Yes.
But their A and B storylines were fantastic, mostly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, A is going to have The Rock and Steve Austin. B is going to have D-Generation X and The Godfather, or later on the Right to Censor and all this sort of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff. The ratio was a lot better than it would be 10 years later. Part of right. that is because the stars that they had built, when they moved on, they didn't have people of that caliber, which is not their fault. Well, it might be partially their fault, but because that's a pretty big caliber.
Right. And I think that going back to Angle was certainly a front runner to transition out of one era into another era. Mm-hmm. And just the matches alone. And then unfortunately you have the fallout of his struggles with addiction and then his exit from WWE into a lot of people. And I know that this is something that I think you and I can both say out loud, that his probably best work was done in a promotion that did not have as many eyes on it.
Well, his best in-ring work.
Yes.
His best microphone work was done in the first 4 years of his career.
Oh, yes.
He was way entertaining when he had a head of hair. And yeah. even when he lost the hair and he was wearing the wig with the wrestling head gear on to hold it down, that was yes. the funniest shit ever. But shortly after he lost his hair, not shortly, it was a little bit after, you know, he turned into this super serious character. And that was about the time when they tried to reinvent ECW and made him into this sort of shoot monster. It was not even remotely compelling compared to that funny shit that he used to do.
Well, and
he's a great wrestler. Everyone yes. knew that.
Let's not glance over I'm Just a Sexy Kurt.
I hated that.
I loved it. Oh my God. I'll make your ankle hurt. That was that. And I mean, there was so many bright parts of what he did on screen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's somebody that has, I always commend people that are able to clean up their act. And I think that it's so valuable to be able to have him as somebody that is very open and honest about his struggles. Cause I think that can help other people if they're going through similar situations. And I think he should be absolutely celebrated as one of the greatest of all time for many reasons, you know? Yeah. And I mean, you just hope the same thing happens for everybody, man. Like we talked about Jeff Hardy not that long ago with his DUI, you know, Kurt has 4 on his record. And thankfully he was finally able to come to terms with, I have a problem. I need to get help. And he seems to be living a much better life without having to deal with the struggles of addiction.
Heroes, and no, Ben Johnson does not count.
Certainly not Ben Johnson.
So it is my duty as an American hero to represent all of you as well and become the North American hero.
Ben Johnson cheated, you know, JR.
I know.
The second thing that Canada is lacking is Memorial Day, which is today, by the way. And we in the States celebrate our war heroes by having barbecues. And I realize here in Canada, you can't have barbecues because you'd probably be attacked by a moose, or a caribou, or even a grizzly.
Right.
It's true. Hold on a second. You'd probably be attacked by a grizzly as well. On second thought, the grizzlies don't beat anybody here in Vancouver, let alone anywhere else. It's true. It's true.
They are a rock
so after I
team.
Win the European Championship tonight, I will not only be the North American hero, I will also represent the great countries of Europe as well. Once again, your Olympic hero is going global.
Plus, you know what?
Yeah, he had a problem, all right. Broke his neck, what, three times or whatever?
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, man, his career should serve as a warning. Pro wrestling can really fuck you up if you succumb to the dark side of it.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's just the way that it is. Look, this guy was a milk. What's that term for a boar? Milk toast, milk sop, whatever it is. I mean, this guy was, Captain America, just a good old fashioned Pittsburgh nerd.
Yep.
Who won gold for this country, got into the pro wrestling business, and it completely became a drunk and a drug addict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it can happen to anyone if you're not careful. And, you know, hopefully they have people in place to, you know, that's why this Jeff Hardy business was so heartbreaking. You know, if you remember, like, his last days in WWE, which is not that long ago, like, they're having some house show match, and he just got down off the ring, climbed over the guardrail, and left through the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was
before the match was done.
It was fucking weird. And when they had that match between them and the Young Bucks here in Las Vegas, which I was relatively close to the ring to, he was awkwardly just moving slow. It was like he was concussed, and which he might have been. But if that were the case, why do we not have protocols in place for a referee to go, you know, fucking either yet? There has to be some sort of, I know it's a kayfabe show and we got to get to the finish, brother, but hey, look, if this is what's going on, maybe the person who's playing the authority figure in that ring needs to actually be an authority figure and go, yo,
right. And
this is shit's got to come to an end.
And, so, and there's situations that have come up like that, man. And I mean, I think that something that should be talked about, especially because there's people in the industry, like, I'm CPR certified. I had to get my CPR certification when I was going overseas. And I think that anyone that's in the industry should at least have some bare basic knowledge of what to do when it comes to resuscitation, or what to do, what does it actually look like when somebody is really knocked out, right? What is the protocol that you need to go about if somebody breaks something? And I think that there's some of this stuff that you hope is common sense, but even I can't remember who died in the ring, but it was in a match.
Several people.
Well, but there was Perro Aguayo Jr. Mm-hmm. passed away in a match with Rey Mysterio, and the referee just kind of let the match keep on rolling through. And there was also, I think, Dr. Wagner or possibly Silver King, who was wrestling and just got injured. But just because nobody knows any better, they're just like, oh yeah, you know, the show must go on. No, fuck that. The show shouldn't go on.
Yeah. Like, because in any sport, if, you know, let's say football, like when Joe Theismann was tackled by Lawrence Taylor, you know, everything stops, the refs get in there, medical personnel comes in, the commentators go, bah, you hate to see this, it's terrible, yada, yada, yada. You know, shit in a real sport would stop. You know, it doesn't matter if it's some backroom brawl between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. I know we got a show to put on, but you also have people's health to fucking take care of. And yeah, it's happened in AEW a bunch, certainly in their earlier years. It was Alex Reynolds that was just not clean unconscious in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
And then someone dragged his limp carcass over to the corner so he can get a hot tag from an unconscious guy.
Yeah.
I mean, my man, we need to get the referees. They got a lot on their shoulders already. But a certain kind of training is needed.
Well, and there, a certain type of training is needed. And also, it's really hard because everyone's got an opinion, mm-hmm. right? And there was an opinion when I broke my nose in that ladder match that was shared from a few people that I shouldn't have gotten back into the ring.
Because of a broken nose?
The amount of blood that there was a lot of blood. Like I can see, and footage doesn't do it justice.
Right.
Right. Because they had to keep the camera off of me. But I can tell you that there was more than one person that was just like, hey, you should have just stayed out. And looking back at it with everything that went on and also injuring my back in that match, my back's still fucked up. Yeah. I should have stopped.
Like, oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Like, with the way that everything transpired and went down, right? Now, I got paid, yeah, right? But was that payday enough to warrant my fucked up back? No.
How many pints of blood does the human body hold? Isn't it something like 9 or something like that?
I don't know exactly how much I lost, but I can tell you this much right now. I bled more out of my nose than I have when I've been cut with glass. Like, sure. And that is something that, like I said, I'm more irritated about it because the back injury, you know, like the back injury is not good and it's getting better. But that, looking at it where I can look back with retrospect and I can see, okay, well, if I would have just pulled out, I wouldn't have hurt my back easy because my nose is already broken. Right. And then it just turns into a point of, yeah, I came up in the generation of rub some dirt in it, kid, you know, like that's the generation that I came up in. And there's, when somebody actually stops a match, there was a gentleman on a show who I won't name to keep his anonymity. Broke his jaw clean in half.
Jesus.
And there was a number of people in the back who all had this shit opinion of, oh, well, he could have at least gotten pinned and could have finished the match.
Right.
This is the type of insane bullshit that wrestling tries to make palatable for people. You know, and I'm sorry, but the show doesn't need to go on if you were that physically impaired. And it's a great hero story to tell and all that other stuff. But I think that a lot of people romanticize stuff like this the same way they romanticize what they would do if they were to get robbed. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And
if that were me, I'd karate kick the gun out of his hand and half moon crescent kick him in the nuts.
And precisely. And I think that that's a huge problem with the industry, is this romanticizing these things that, listen, I don't need to prove I'm tough to anybody. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm tough. Right. And I've proven that I'm tough. And if anybody wants to actually test if I'm tough, they can find out. But it's just this bizarre thing. And I think the culture in itself has made more stories like Kurt Angle lived out, man. Like, it's crazy to think about, you know, the man, his prescription addiction was wild.
Most prescription addictions are wild.
Yeah.
You don't hear stories of, I was addicted to painkillers. Oh, really? How bad did it get? I took 2 Tylenol PM every day just to sleep. Like, well, that's not too bad.
That's me.
It's always like, I was up to 50 somas a day. Like, what? Jesus Christ.
Yep. And then when you hear Angle talk about going to the different doctors. Like he could see up to like 10 doctors in a day, right, just driving all around town, just filling out prescriptions.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah. Stay away from them.
Did you ever see that? Sorry. I know you talked about this like 10 minutes ago, but do you ever see that? Hey man, nice shot. Well, you're familiar with the song, right? Hey, Filter, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was written about Bud Doyer.
Yeah, but all right. So if that's his name, Bud Doyer. Now, have you ever seen that video of Bud Doyer shooting himself?
Yes, I have.
I remember seeing that in high school when Faces of Death was a thing that was on there.
So there was Faces of Death, and then after Faces of Death, there was Rotten.com.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Why are we giving out bad websites?
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's something else.
Yeah, probably. I'm not going to go
there
out
and lose their PIN number or some shit. Anyway, but all right. So I'm not encouraging anyone to go hunt down a gross video like this, because once you see stuff like this, you can't unsee it. But yeah, he shoots himself in a room full of people with a pretty sizable hand cannon in the mouth and blows his brains out during basically a press conference.
It was a public resignation because he ended up getting caught
embezzling,
and he was asked to resign publicly.
Yeah, so, he resigned all right.
Oh yeah.
In front of a bunch of cameras.
Yeah. He resigned off this mortal coil.
But all right. Anyway, I bring all this shit up because do you remember the amount of blood that came out? Not out of the out of his nose and mouth. After he hit, he slumps down, the camera's still on it, and just a waterfall pours out of his nose and mouth, as like every bit of blood in his body forced up to his head and was coming out of those two openings. Mortifying. So anyway, the point I'm getting at, was your nose break that bad?
the amount of people that like contacted me and have still contacted me to ask me the status of what my nose is, right?
It's like, on the side of your face.
Yeah, it is. And it's as straight as it's going to get. But
for now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard to tell on camera.
No, I can see it.
Yeah. It's not the first nose break that I've had, but when I tell you the amount of blood was an insane amount of blood, like, and it was only made worse by the Silver Nuggets lighting, because it's a very, very, very dark room, but the lights are pretty bright and it just was neon, and it covered my entire face, my entire upper body, and all over my legs.
Right.
Like it was an uncommon amount of blood and nosebleeds bleed a lot. You get what I'm saying? Now,
color, brother.
Yeah. Our good buddy Bud, definitely bled more than me, but, and it's funny that you mentioned that video. I can remember that video very vividly.
Yeah.
It's fuck, man. Yeah. Don't watch that video.
Don't do
drugs. Don't watch that video.
Not only that, don't watch any death videos or any of that sort of mortifying shit. It's not that it'll change you, but you can't unsee it. Like weird pornography.
Watch trauma movies instead.
Oh, like, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, the first Toxic Avenger, where it's Ron Jeremy that's in the gym and he pulls the weight pin and it crushes his head, and you can tell it's actually just a watermelon with a mask over it. Yes.
Are you sure that was Ron Jeremy?
Ron Jeremy was in the original Toxic Avenger, if I remember correctly.
I mean, I haven't seen the Toxic Avenger since what I assume was the 80s. But yeah, Ron Jeremy also had his head caved in Orgasmo.
Yes.
It was a clay pot.
Yes. And Orgasmo is another film that more people need to catch wind to. Yeah.
Oh my God. So Ron Jeremy's had his head caved in two movies.
Yeah.
The only two major motion pictures he's been in.
Well, maybe it wasn't his head that got crushed in that scene, but he did die in a Toxic Avenger movie. I just can't remember which one.
I feel like one might have been too early. Like by the time they got to four or whatever, they would probably have someone like a porn star in there.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm sure that the movie had plenty of porn stars in it. They were probably just doing porn in their basements.
You know what's crazy is Toxic Avenger 1 and Swamp Thing came out around about the same time. And it was confusing that one was this. I mean, they were fucking weird. And somehow they made their way into my house. I don't know what my mom was on about, but she, for some reason, liked these movies. I don't remember Toxic Avenger too much, but I remember Swamp Thing being essentially a romantic action movie, except yeah. The leading man was a giant piece of shit.
Yeah, well, Swamp Thing, I'm a big Swamp Thing fan, actually, and I think that Alan Moore's work on Swamp Thing was incredible.
Yeah, the movie and Alan Moore's graphic novels are two different things.
They are two different things. However, I still appreciate the fact that all this was kind of spun off of The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And what if the creature actually got the girl, right? So the idea of Swamp Thing as a romantic movie was a little bit of play off of that. And then even later on, there was The Shape of Water, which the sea creature actually ends up getting the girl in that one for sure.
Yeah. You know, Clash of the Titans, the Kraken doesn't get any action, sadly.
Yeah.
He turns to stone in the end.
And that's a shame because he seems like a nice guy.
He almost got a virgin.
Yeah.
By the way, I can tell you, I've been with a virgin. Not in that way, but very close. And I realize, no thanks. This isn't going to go well.
I have stories that I could tell that I'm a gentleman. And I would like to stay a gentleman.
Yeah. I'm not telling anything crazy. I just remember it was like she told me I've never been kissed before. I was like, oh no, we're going to have some serious attachment issues if I go through with this.
Yeah.
This is not going to work out.
Back out.
Yeah.
I brought you a present. I brought you a present from Texas.
Really? For
real?
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Really?
And I was, I was in a gift-giving mood, so I bought myself one, too.
You did?
Yeah. Got it right here.
Well, should I open it now?
Let's open them together.
All right. Let's open them together. Nice wrap.
You like it, don't you?
I can't believe you did this for me.
You know, man, from Texas and all, I thought this would be the thing to cheer you up.
Well, here it goes.
Put it on, partner.
What do you think, Deborah?
Oh, that is so you.
Goes with the shirt, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You look great.
Thank you.
How you doing there, cowboy?
Hey, how are you? Hey, Vince, how you doing?
Perfect. Hey.
Well, I'm here. Hey, I don't know if you guys realize this, but you have the same identical cowboy hats on.
Look, I don't know if you remember what happened to me on Monday, okay?
Yeah, Vince, I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you know what? And Steve brought me a gift. This is a gift from Stone Cold Steve Austin, all the way from Texas. And quite frankly, it's doing a hell of a lot to cheer me up.
I'm glad. That's great. What's wrong?
Well, you got Vince a gift. You even got yourself a gift. You didn't get me a big gift.
You know, you think Stone Cold Steve Austin's a big tough guy all the time, but I got you something, you little rascal.
He did?
Yeah, I didn't forget about you.
That's great, thank you.
You're your pal.
Yeah.
I like you. Not very much, but I like you.
Is that it?
It is.
Oh, wow.
It's for you.
Oh, man, this is great.
So, open it up.
Oh, God.
Hey, Hey, but we'll make sure just to go this way.
No, straight down. What we can do, we'll get some steam. We can shape them later.
Steam them?
Yeah, make them the exact same.
Hey, guys, how's this look? I feel like a real cowboy. Yippee-ki-yay!
You look great.
Thank you. You look really I feel great.
You look really great.
Anyway, I'll swing back around to Kurt Angle here in a little bit. Something I wanted to bring up in with the theme of Kurt Angle, so to speak, you know, he does deal with the WWE where he ends up going and training with, I believe, probably Dory Funk Jr.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
And probably Tom Pritchard is there. And, you know, he's got these great trainers. He's probably working with, who knows, The Rock or whoever. Actually, that might be. Who do you think he was probably training with during that
time? He was working with Brian Christopher a lot.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had some matches before WWF. And I think it was, I want to say it was Mid-South something. I just can't remember the name of it.
Oh, he had proper wrestling matches?
Yes. He ended up wrestling. I'm pretty sure you can find a match with him and Brian Christopher on YouTube.
Oh,
that
so
was
yeah,
he not was, in WWE. I think it was like USWA or some shit.
Was Memphis still running then?
Yeah,
it was.
Yes.
Because yeah. Memphis shut down like in the early aughts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they were still utilizing it as a like a before Ohio Valley and before Florida Championship. That was their developmental territory where they would send people down to.
Yes.
Anyway, it occurred to me this week, as I had seen a bunch of pictures of like the personnel at NXT, I should open by saying I haven't watched NXT in a long time, which breaks my heart because it used to be one of my favorite shows to watch.
Yeah.
But it seems like their entire roster is made up of completely green people. And I mean, you know, this wrestlers get better when they wrestle other wrestlers who've been in the game longer than them.
Right.
Am I wrong on that?
You're not wrong in that, but, and we've talked about this. It's been a while since we talked about this. From what I understand, and some of it is speculation, some of it is from hearing stories from other people that are there. Mm-hmm. Much of it is being spoken about throughout the industry in locker rooms and on the internet.
Right.
That WWE is in a situation right now to where they don't want to hire, once again, speculation.
Right. Pro wrestlers.
They don't want to hire pro wrestlers because they're harder to retrain out of bad habits. Right.
Sure.
And they feel, at least they felt, that taking people that are athletes that you can train to the role was the move to make. And right now it's still very much in its infancy. And there's some people that have really shined through. Bron Breakker is obviously one of the people that is on the new NXT 2.0, as they call it. Mm-hmm. That is incredible. But at the same time, he has a lineage. And
right. Yeah, everyone puts him over. I'm not as fascinated as seemingly everyone else.
Right. I think that he's capable, and I think that he's only going to get better with time. And I agree with you. I think that you're right by saying, yes, you get better by having matches with other people, but if you're in the seat of control and you see, okay, well, there's a decline, you're obviously going to try to listen to any suggestions as far as shaking things up goes.
Right.
So,
oh, I'm not against the fact that they actually went about this. I mean, the truth is with reputable talent on the indies, my apologies for putting you probably slightly below that level. You know, you never wrestled at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I'm afraid to say. But they had really hit the bottom of the barrel by between them and AEW by completely cleaning out that class of capable individuals. And now they, the industry, or at least the independent industry, needs to sort of reload those positions. Hopefully you can get in and on that cast.
Right.
Because goddamn, you're ready, son.
Yes. And that's the thing is that we talk about the Renaissance, and the Renaissance is happening. WWE had it too good for too long with being the only shot caller, right? Because there was Impact Wrestling. Yeah, there was Ring of Honor. Yeah, there was this. There are people that if it's not WWE, it doesn't exist to them as far as wrestling goes.
They still exist.
That is a large, that's the majority of a lot of people. And many times when you inform those people, well, there's more than WWE, they're no longer interested in it because they used to watch and then it lost their attention.
Right.
So if you used to watch and it lost your attention along the way, why would you try to give something new a try? And I think that right now, a lot of AEW's success is its platform, and they have some good time slots on live television. They have star power with the former WWE wrestlers that have signed on to their company. And once again, the idea of wrestling is problematic now, and it used to be better. No, wrestling's always been problematic.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend like wrestling was ever perfect, because it wasn't. No. There was moments in time where we can always remember fondly. And I think that even trying to draw a comparison to what was, it's just not fair to what is. And what's happening right now is that I hope the best for all of the people on NXT. You know, I hope that they are able to get better, and I hope that new stars are made, and I hope that WWE gives these people a fair crack, and I hope that AEW flourishes. I just want wrestling to do well.
I know, but you're getting away from my point.
Sorry.
You know, I actually heard Brian Alvarez very recently parrot what I'm about ready to say, and it's that they're getting training on, oh, here's how to maybe do the moves or whatever, but like none of them really know how to work, as far as I can tell. They can go back and choreograph an entire, you know, 10-minute match, 15-minute match, but as far as I can tell, none of them really know how to work. And it seems that their matches are choreographed and put into position on NXT to make a show, but when it comes to shows like Raw and SmackDown, you know this as well as anybody, you might have a 12-minute match completely choreographed or put together, and they go, hey, you've been cut down to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And these people are ill-prepared.
And that's, I mean, there's only one way to learn. And I have been the victim of having time cut. This is one of my favorite stories from Paragon Pro Wrestling. They really put Ethan HD in a bad spot, and they booked him back to back. And I believe that he had a match with someone like Caleb Conley before he had to wrestle me. And because of the way that the show was formatted and structured, it was too late to do anything about, and we just had to roll through with it. So Ethan HD had come up to me, and we were given 5 minutes, and it's curtain to curtain for that 5 minutes.
Right. Music, and Ethan, walking.
Yep. And Ethan HD had just put, I believe, 12 on the clock beforehand. So he ends up telling me, like, hey man, I'm having a hard time breathing. like I told him, like, hey, don't worry about it. I'll give you some time on my entrance. And if you need any more time for yourself, you go ahead and take it on your entrance. So I take a little bit of time on my entrance. Ethan takes a little bit of time on his entrance. And then as the referee is coming to check me, he comes to check me first. And he is like, you guys have to go home right now.
Right.
And I don't want to give, I don't want to give away too much of the business.
Right.
But I told the referee what was going to happen. And then the referee went and checked Ethan and let Ethan know what was going to happen. The bell rang and we were able
to. And then the bell rang.
Yeah. We got out of the building and I believe 40 seconds. It may have been 40 to 45 seconds. And the crowd actually went apeshit.
Right. Because you know why? Because they just saw the, you know, the 10 second match. Pow, pin, it's over. Holy shit.
We had a couple little fireworks in there, you know, right. But we being in that situation, and the one thing that I'll also say is, and this is also speculative, but I've got a pretty good assumption. I've heard from a lot of people and I've worked for companies that were far too micromanaged. Right. Mm-hmm. So here's what happens if we try to blame the talent all the time. Right. So let's say that Bron Breakker is given this 12-minute match and his agent put it together and it doesn't really make that much sense. And he can't deviate off of what was told to him. And he's just go out there and do it. Right. If you don't do what the agent tells you to do and you go in the back, guess who actually gets yelled at? You and the agent. Right. And then guess who gives you the heat? The agent, right? Because the agent is going to take the rap and say, oh yeah, I put together a shit match, right? Because they need to walk on eggshells just like you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just the dancing monkey,
right?
That you got to go out there and do the tricks. So it's this really, I think it doesn't have to do just with the talent. I think it has to do with the overall company in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very unromantic to think about the machinations of the industry, sadly. You know, from a fan's point of view, it's like, I have my people I like and I have my people I hate, and yay for them and boo for these guys. And then really you realize that a lot of these guys, they're puppets being told what to do and what to say and where to be and what the fuck. And once you realize they're soulless husks, once you see the Matrix code, it makes you not want to watch it anymore.
Yeah. And I think that there's some people that will always be able to, I just like to watch wrestling, man. Right. Like I can honestly tell you that I don't consume wrestling as a fan anymore because there's too much to fucking consume.
Also, however, it's your life.
Yes. I still enjoy watching wrestling. And this is also why my attention is drawn to tape archives as opposed to what's happening currently. Right. Like I'll poke my head in every now and again. Like we talked, I watched Forbidden Door. I'll catch an episode of AEW here and there. I'll watch a match from Money in the Bank. I saw a couple matches from Money in the Bank and there was some good stuff on there. And there's some things that I was critical about, but at the end of the day, I just love wrestling. And I think that I wish that some of the hires up would listen to the criticism that the fan base gives sometimes. But within that same breath, I also have to take away that even if y'all got what you wanted, you'd find a way to be upset about it.
Because, don't lump me in with all these fuckers.
Not you, but just the industry, the fans in general. You end up giving the people what they want and they end up finding a way to shit all over you. You know, like I remember a point in time when Cesaro was having to hop out into the crowd to destroy beach balls in the middle of his matches. And it's just crazy to think about. Fickle people.
Yeah, they're hard to please sometimes. Am I on mute?
No.
Oh. You went very quiet there. Sorry, I was messing around with the mute button. Well, let's wrap it up with a nice bow. Kurt Angle, in retrospect, where does he stand on the fucking greats? He may not make a Mount Rushmore, but he certainly makes the Mount Olympus party of gods, I think.
I think that if you want to really put it in a package with a bow on it, just watch the highlight reel of him kicking out right before three. There's like a 15-minute highlight reel of some of the greatest near falls of all time. And it's just Kurt Angle, just a cunt hair away from being counted out. And just watch his body of work. Tell me that you're not inspired and tell me that you don't want to wear a singlet and pop your tits out.
Yeah. And I think this episode might be the easiest episode for me to find clips to, you know, I don't know if we'll get around to Ricky Dozan. I'm not going to be able to put a whole lot of clips on that episode. Kurt Angle, there's no shortage.
I wholeheartedly agree. Once again, you're not going to put sexy Kurt in there, but I wish you would.
What does he mean by that?
Oh, shit! I think I'm cute. I got no metal. I got the moves that makes them all tap out. The Angle Slam, the Angle Lock, Marty Jannetty. Still can't walk, I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt!
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt!
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt!
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt!
Woo! That's right, Sean, eat your heart out. Hands off the merchandise. Woo!
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devo Looter production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music provided by Timothy Styles. For more information, go to turnbuckleboogie.com. And for booking information on Cutthroat Cody Hancock, go to cutthroatcody.com. See you next Monday.